Council, for our second matter here in the courtroom, you can feel free to move up to the table. And I'll ask the marshal to call the second case on our calendar.
Case A-19-0979, Town of White Bear, respondent versus Scott Stoddard et al., appellants.
All right, and please take whatever time you need to get comfortable at the table, and I'll make just a few preliminary remarks. First of all, good morning to both of you. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We're looking forward to our conversation with you today. As you get to the podium and adjust, make whatever adjustments you need, it does go up and down for height, so do whatever you need to make yourself comfortable. Please make sure that the microphone is lined up so that we capture your remarks, as we do have a recording made of proceedings today. And before you start your argument, for our record, please state your name and the client you represent, and then proceed with your argument. So thank you. With that, we look forward to talking to you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Ryan Somatic, and I represent the appellants in this matter, Nancy Stoddard and Scott Stoddard. We're asking this court to reverse the trial court, enter an order mandating the payment of interest from the date of taking onward. And in this case, we know how much that interest happens to be. As stated in the brief, it's $52,035.62 plus post-judgment interest on that amount.
So it's not really the amount of interest that's in dispute, it's when that time starts running in order to calculate the interest, or are they both?
The amount is not in dispute. That is a simple...
So it comes down to whether it's date of taking or date of possession, and your primary argument, the thrust of what you're presenting to us, is that there's no distinction between the two.
There's a distinction between when a taking can happen and when a possession can happen, but the interest is owed from the date of taking, irrespective of when possession happens. They can correlate or not, but interest is owed from the date of taking, no matter when the condemner...
And how do you maintain that position when the statute clearly says does not define the date of taking?
Because interest isn't purely controlled by statute. It's an element of just compensation, which means it's constitutionally owed, no matter what any statute happens to say. And that has been held by several courts, In Re Condemnation of City of Minneapolis, State versus Bailon Company, both of which are cited in my brief.
So, counsel, before we dive deeply into the cases, because, of course, there is quite a difference between the way you read the cases and the way the town of White Bear Lake reads the cases. I just want to back up for a second. You know a lot more, and both of you do, than I do about taking law. You already made a reference to the differences between taking, possession, and perhaps other rights. Minnesota doesn't have a definition of date of taking in our statutes, but it has a definition of taking, right? I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head.
A definition of the date of taking?
No, what the term taking means.
Oh.
Because taking is an overarching term. I think you already alluded to that, and includes other rights. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, a taking is when the sovereign removes property rights from an individual citizen's real property. And the extent of removal will depend on the reason for the taking. So the
right, so our statute says, I'll just quote it just to set up my question. So it includes every interference under the power of eminent domain with possession, enjoyment, or value of the private property. That's our statutory definition. All right, from chapter 117. So it implies that a taking includes possession.
I think it interferes with
possession, use, enjoyment.
I think what it says is that a taking can be some of those things or all of those things. It doesn't have to be all. It can be any type of interference. So anytime a property right is interfered with by the sovereign taking it, that can be a taking. It doesn't have to be possession. For example, in this case, we have a regulatory taking alleged that kicked off this whole process.
Right, that's what I was going to say. This started out from your side as an inverse condemnation claim, right? Which is not in front of us. That's not the appeal that we're hearing today.
No, that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so what we're hearing is the quick take claim by the town of White Bear Lake.
That's true.
Right, so in the quick take world, does the date of taking matter, or is it the date of possession and transfer of title that matters?
It usually doesn't matter, but this is a unique set of circumstances. Usually, when there is a quick take, possession and title transfer at the same time. But here, we have a district court finding that the date of taking was October 2nd, 2015. Now, I maintain that that is when the town also took possession and that my clients had no meaningful possessory rights as of that date. But there is an order formally transferring title later on, February 2nd, 2017. So this...
When you say no meaningful possessory rights...
Yeah.
What could you give me an example of what a meaningful possessory right is and how your clients were deprived of one?
Sure. I mean, the trial court has already held that the taking occurred in 2015. The highest and best use of this property, as it was asserted before the court-appointed commissioners, was a development parcel. That's what it was to be used for. And if you can't develop it as of October 2nd or October 2015, then it's not worth anything.
So you had a signed development agreement with someone else, supported by financing, for your clients on October 2nd, 2015.
True. And in fact, the whole reason
with,
for
with
the taking...
responsibility for clearing the air control before anything could go on.
I'm sorry, could you ask me that again?
You had the flight path, an issue as far as you're going ahead with that development to clear that up.
I mean, there was an issue with it, yeah, but the issue was what caused the taking in the first place.
Well, right, but what you're saying is worth nothing. Well, when you sign an agreement, then you look to see what needs to be fulfilled in order to go ahead, whether it's septic or whether it's the land or the airspace or whatever it may be. So you haven't exactly gotten to the point where you're starting to develop but for that obstacle.
It was further along than that. I mean, there was a purchase agreement signed. There was a plat developed. The developer had a reasonable expectation of what it would take to develop this property, or he would not have signed a purchase agreement for it. The only thing that had to occur meaningfully was having the plat formally approved by the town, which they denied, which caused the taking. But all of that...
That was down the line. I guess what I'm taking issue with is you said when they signed the agreement, the development agreement, everything started then and fell into place, but there's all these things that have to take place after the agreement is entered into.
Yes, that's true, although...
That's just common business development.
I agree with you, but I don't think you have a meaningful possessory right when the regulating entities have deprived you of your right to develop. At that point, what can you do with your property? You can't dispose of it because nobody's going to buy it.
What if they didn't get their financing? I mean, it's the same thing. You have obstacles anytime you have a building development. You can't get to the construction, the development of any project until you've cleared those hurdles.
Well, that speaks to the feasibility of the proposed project. It doesn't speak to whether when alienated the property will have any value. We know here that they couldn't have sold the property to any developer for any project because it would have been denied, and that's exactly what happened.
So the date of taking that was stipulated to by the parties here, October something, 2015.
Yes.
Yes. So that is the date that the town of White Bear Lake declined to remove the, I'd call it a restriction. Is that accurate?
It's the date that they denied the development plat on the basis of the air restriction.
Well, tell me about that stipulation. The stipulation says this is the agreed upon date of taking. Why didn't you say date of possession? Was there any discussion about that? Is there anything in the record to show why you picked that particular date? I mean, clearly the money issue is an important angle.
There is, although I had made a motion before, which the court denied, in reference to the the companion case. And in that case, my clients were trying to get their quick take deposit, and the town was refusing to pay it. Well, if the town doesn't do a quick take, well, then there's actually no taking at all until the end of trial, which means that the underlying inverse condemnation case would not have been mooted. In other words, the town would not have done what it told the court it was going to do. And in order to get that quick take in motion. The town said, look, we'll pay you the quick take if you will agree that this is the date of taking.
And the date of taking, okay. I mean, that was clearly the way it was structured.
Yes, it was, Your Honor. we'll pay you the quick, we'll do a quick take, even though they had already told the court they were going to do it, if you will agree that October 2nd, 2015 is the date of taking.
So how do we comport that with the statute that says it's first in time in terms of the date of possession or the filing of the commissioner's report? How do we make sense of the statute?
You don't have to make sense of the statute because the interest is guaranteed by the Constitution, irrespective of what the statute says. So it's a constitutional remedy.
So for you to win this case, you need to convince us that our statute is what, unconstitutional? I realize you give a notice to the Attorney General to that effect, so that is your core position?
I don't think it is unconstitutional, excuse me. I just think it's been applied unconstitutionally in this case. Sure.
But you don't think the statute's ambiguous?
I don't think the statute's ambiguous. What I think the statute does is codifies a common practice. So interest certainly can run from the date of possession. I'm not disputing that, and that's what the statute says. But the Constitution also says that it has to run from the date of taking. So they're complementary. They're not contrary to each other necessarily. So you don't have to find the statute unconstitutional in order to find for my client in this case.
But when the ultimate transfer of title to the taking, when the ultimate taking by the town of White Bear Lake happens as a result of a quick take, and they get title and possession, as we all know through the statutory procedures, by this deposit into court, which gives you access to the money, I mean, isn't that the relevant point from which, as our statute says, the interest would then be computed?
It might be in a typical case. It just so happens here that there's a court finding that the date of taking is before that. And I think this whole issue is really resolved by the Bonin case, which says that interest runs from the date of taking even if the condemner acquires possession at some latter date.
But isn't this a case, I mean, Minnesota has a statute that specifically defines when interest would start running as compared to the cases you've relied on.
Minnesota has a specific statute. Minnesota also has cases that have been decided with that statute in place that say it runs from the date of taking. It's just the rare...
That's where you're referring to the Community Development Agency, that case?
Yeah. If you look on the brief, page 17, that's N. Ray Condemnation of City of Minneapolis and State versus Balin Company, both of those hold that interest is a, quote, component of just compensation. If it's a component of just compensation, an element of just compensation. Just compensation is required by the Constitution. That's right in the state constitution. It's in the federal constitution, too. So if it's an element of just compensation, then my client gets it from when those courts say that the interest starts running, even if there's not a specific statute that remedy.
MCDA, that I believe was authored by Judge Lansing, cited to a 1988 version of the statute and recited date of taking, but that wasn't how it appeared. I mean, do you acknowledge that that was erroneous?
I don't think so, because I think the date of taking and the date of possession would have been the same date in that case. And it usually is. Again, this is a unique set of circumstances.
So, and now we have a new statute. It's we're looking at a different statute that's applying to this case, right?
It's
not the 1988 version.
It's not materially different. Right. It's the same. It says possession just like this one does. So there's no, it's not
but
as if
it's not materially different, that's what I'm getting at. MCDA has a recitation of the statute that you say is not material different, and that particular case said date of taking versus date of possession.
That supports my case. They awarded it from the date of taking. It's just that courts have historically treated this as a non-issue because typically the date of possession and the date of taking are the same. So in making some of these holdings, they're just saying what has always been the law and not looking critically about whether there is some distinction.
That's where we have argument because the statute doesn't read that way. I mean, that's what I struggle with. You know, the statute seems pretty clear on its face, and it has a different term that it uses.
It does. But again, there's federal and state case law that say it's an element of just compensation. If it's an element of just compensation, and your opinion is that the statute prohibits a court from ordering it from the date of taking, where there's a later date of possession, then yes, the statute is unconstitutional under those circumstances.
And your best authority for interest as an element of just compensation, Minnesota authority, is the Kearney case, is that right?
No, it's not. It's,
okay.
It's In Re Condemnation of City of Minneapolis, and it's State versus Balin Company.
Well, I thought you were relying on outside authority for the constitutional claim.
Outside of Minnesota?
Yes.
No, I'm not. There are several Minnesota cases that also hold that interest on the award is an element of just compensation. Those are both, that's in respondent's brief as well, actually, but it's on page 17 of my principal brief, okay. Both of those authorities. But, I mean, if it is the law federally, too, and Minnesota can't restrict the protections of a citizen more than the federal constitution can. So even if I was relying on federal authorities, it would still support my case. See that I'm out of time.
Thank you, counsel. And, of course, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court, Chad Lemons, representing the town of White Bear. First, I'd like to talk about the case of the MCDA case.
What do we do with that?
Your Honor, you're exactly right. The statute at the time, 117.195, called for interest to commence at the earlier of the filing of the commissioner's report or the date of taking. 117.195 has since been amended, so that case no longer applies. The statute now reads that interest commences either at the earliest of the date of the filing of the commissioner's award or the date of possession.
And possession was February 2, according to
exactly.
You.
So,
but does that really answer the question? I mean, the argument I'm hearing opposing counsel make is that the statute is a mechanism for getting just compensation. It doesn't limit just compensation because that's a constitutional mandate.
Well, remember, I think this is an important point. Their motion before the district court was motion to compel payment of interest under Minnesota Statute 117.195. It was not a request for payment of just compensation. And here's an important point.
So you're saying they've limited themselves to the statutory interest because that's the way they styled their motion?
Exactly.
Even though their arguments went beyond that?
Exactly. But here's
and what's your authority?
There's a more important point, I think, Your Honor.
Well, if you don't mind answering,
sure,
my question
is,
what's your authority for that, counsel? That they are somehow limited because the title of their motion related to the statute, but their arguments clearly are asserting just compensation under the constitutions.
And I'm sorry, Your Honor, if I...
Oh, that's fine. You go right ahead. We all get excited during argument.
Yes, we do. State v. Gannon's, Inc., Your Honor, 145 Northwest 2nd 321, that states that interest award is strictly controlled by statute. But that case also states that interest is simply an element of just compensation. Remember, they had the right to a hearing before commissioners. And if they weren't satisfied with the commissioner's award of damages, they had the right to appeal that. They could have, if they felt the damages were insufficient, they could have appealed that, but they elected not to. And under the statute, when you fail to appeal, that becomes the final award. So their claim for just compensation, what they're claiming, this period of time between the date of taking and the February 2nd, that actually could have been dealt with at the time of the hearings. They could have dealt with that separately, and I think that's exactly what the law, the point Gannon's is making is that interest is calculated according to the statute. The statute governs the interest. Now, it doesn't state, in fact, Gannon goes on to state, it's an element only. They could have made another claim. They could have made their own claim by simply appealing the decision of the commissioners. They didn't.
Let me see if I'm understanding you right, counsel. Because as I said in my earlier comments, I appreciate that both of you know a lot more about the taking procedures than I do. So you seem to be saying that the appellants in this case missed a step because they did not seek interest from the time of taking through this commissioner evaluation process.
I don't think they missed a step, Your Honor, so much as they, if they felt they were due additional damages, they could have appealed the award of the commissioners. So what I'm saying is that...
So did the commissioners award interest? I mean, is that a normal part of the commissioner evaluation?
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I cut you off there.
I'm just trying to understand your argument, so go right ahead.
Well, actually, the award, the commissioners can award, they have the right, they award the value of the property. They also have the right to award additional damages. Normally, you see that in the case of when there's a partial taking, where they award, I'll be honest with you, the term escapes me at the moment, but they can award additional
damages.
But aren't
additional damages usually something to do with use or something of that? Now, it's not interest.
It could be.
I'm trying to think of all the condemnation proceedings, the commissioner proceedings I've had, I've never seen interest come back.
Normally, they don't deal with interest, but they can deal with other damages. And there's nothing to say that...
So you are suggesting that we broadly construe other damages to encompass interest?
Well, they do as an example. They can deal with the issue of
rent. You really want to go down that road?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
You really want to go down that road? I don't think that's helpful to your position.
All right, well, then I'll withdraw it.
Well, there you go. Could you shift to a different point, counsel? Appellant's counsel said that as of October 2nd, 2015, his clients had no meaningful possessory rights.
That's incorrect, Your Honor.
Why? And then tell me what meaningful possessory rights he did have on that day.
Sure. All the town of White Bear did was they denied a petition to amend an existing zoning ordinance. That was one. Two, they denied a plat that was only operable if the town agreed to amend their zoning ordinance.
They continued to list that property for sale, didn't they?
They did, Your Honor. Yeah. In fact, they did receive, as I pointed out, they received an offer of $1.619 million. I believe that was on May 13th, 2016.
If they had accepted that offer for purchase, then they wouldn't have any kind of a quick take or any inverse condemnation action.
Based on the damages awarded by the commissioners, they wouldn't have had any damages whatsoever. But here's the point. Here's the point I'm going to make. All that happened was they denied the plat that was applied for at the time. The town did nothing to say that they could not come back with a new plat, a different plat. They still had control of the property. They still had the right to come in and file an alternative plat. They elected not to. The town never said you couldn't do it. There's no record the town ever said they couldn't do it. All the town did is they said, we will not approve the plat you've now presented.
So if all that is true, counsel, why did the town of White Bear Lake stipulate with the appellants that the date of the taking was October 10th, 5th? 2015.
There's a good reason for that, Your Honor.
Okay.
The date of taking, well, the statute doesn't say so, but the date of taking also establishes when the property is valued. That date was used for the purpose of valuation. If you note...
But you didn't stipulate to date of valuation. You stipulated to
date of taking. But
But here's what I asked that very same question to appellant. Is there anything in the record or anything in the paperwork that established why you were picking that as a date of taking, emphasis on taking and not on date of of possession?
Yes, there is, Your Honor.
What would that be?
That would be the dates of the appraisals used at the commissioner's hearings.
Would be the same?
Exactly. The appraisers, for the purpose of a condemnation action, the appraisers, to determine the fair market value, have to understand what date they're supposed to value it as. That's the date of taking. So, in this case, both parties agreed that the valuation date would be October 5th. That is the date of taking. So, for the purpose of the appraisals, and also not just for the purpose of the appraisals, the commissioners who determine the damages have to know the date of taking, so they make sure that the reports, the appraisal reports, the evidence they're receiving to determine value are correct. If you have one date for the date of taking, which the commissioners have to use for valuation purposes, and a separate date, another date say, an earlier or later date for the appraisals, then the appraisals are basically useless. The information that the commissioners are receiving is useless. So
Council, the date of the taking for the commissioner's valuation works how? I mean, they actually do, it's an exercise, right? A value before and after the date of taking.
Exactly, Your Honor. Right? It the date of taking is used to determine what compensation the landowner is due for the property being taken.
Potentially the date they'd view the property, potentially things like that in order to come up with their appraisal amount.
Well, yes.
I'm trying to help you. My husband does commissioner work.
Okay. Yeah, actually, the date of viewing is normally a separate point. The date of viewing is actually the date in which they go out and look at the property so they get an idea what it
appears
to look.
Then they take that and factor it into what is the date that we're supposed to arrive at.
Exactly. And what they try to go out as soon as possible.
A divorce, this is the date of separation.
Yes. They want the viewing date is important because they want to go out and see the property in its present condition as close to the date of taking as possible. But, there's one point that I think is being overlooked. The appellant cites the cases of Bonin and cites the case of Ballion. If you look at the facts, in those cases, the date of taking and the date of possession are one in the same. And therefore, since the date of possession and the date of taking weren't the same, then under the statute, interest commences on that same date. This is unique in that the date of taking was agreed to on behalf of the town for the purpose of valuation. Because there's one point that's important. Again, I understand you don't do a lot of condemnation work. But when you do a quick take, as part of a quick take procedure, the condemning authority has to pay into court, before they take title, the appraised value of the property. So they have to submit an appraisal of the property to the court and use that as a base, and on that basis, they will then deposit the money with the court. So you have to have a date for the appraisal, and that date of the appraisal should be the date of taking.
So help me work this out in my head. What you're saying is that Balin and MCDA don't support Stoddard's position because they had two different dates, one to determine the value and then one that was the possessory date.
Well, no, maybe I wasn't clear. In both those cases, the date of taking and the date of possession were one and the same.
Were simultaneous. And in this case, you're arguing that they're not.
In this case, the date of taking and the date of possession were different. Because again, the town did not receive possession. The order granting the town possession was not signed until February 5th of 2017. So the town had no control over the property. I think that's the point that needs to be emphasized, is that the town had absolutely no control over the property until February 2nd, 2017. Prior to that, the Stoddards could have done anything they wished with the property. They could have sold it.
On one thing. So you stipulated to the date of taking being October 5th, 2015, and our statutes tell us the definition of taking isn't just valuation. The definition of taking is actually interference with possession, use, and enjoyment of a property. So, I mean, you have created this quandary, in my opinion, because the town is the one that stipulated to this day of taking.
Well, actually, both parties did, and both parties...
Yeah, right, absolutely, but they're trying to leverage it, and you're not, and you're trying to get away from it, and I'm just trying to reconcile it with my understanding of when just compensation is due.
Because one point that may not be clear in the record is the fact that the town intended to do a quick take. There was opposition from Stoddard's counsel to the quick take. To resolve that issue, we agreed to a date of taking. So this was part, that's why it's a stipulation. We settled it so we could proceed with the quick take. And the reason why the town was backing off from the quick take was there was an unpublished decision which made it questionable whether the town could proceed. But again, that date of taking was all part of an overall settlement between the parties. They both agreed to it.
Well, and
they never addressed the issue of interest at all at that point in time.
Right, and I appreciate that stipulation does not address interest, but if it is a stipulation among the parties that you have embraced, right, because it's a compromise, both sides got something from that stipulation, right. Don't you have to live with the stipulation?
For the devaluation purposes, yes.
Well, that's the part I'm struggling with. You seem to be saying that this court should recognize the date of taking only as it was recognized in the district court for the purposes of valuation, but not for determining just compensation. And I'm just struggling. So why is that, counsel? I mean, on what authority?
Again, interest. We're dealing with interest here. Interest is statutory. The courts recognize interest is controlled by the statute, and the statute is clear. The statute says interest is due and payable from the earliest date of either the commissioner's award or the date of possession. And again, interest is only an element. It's not the only grounds for just compensation. It's just one of the factors used in in determining what just compensation, just compensation could be. And there is no statute, there's no case law that says that interest is from the date of taking. In fact, the Constitution doesn't state that interest from the date of taking, interest runs commences with the date of taking. Only the statute defines when interest commences, and that's date of possession. And I would like to make one quick point. Both sides cite the case of Kirby Forest Industries, Inc. v. U.S. And one of the points the court made there was, first of all, they didn't think interest was a proper way to determine. If there's a slowdown, proper way to determine what just compensation could be. In addition, they also pointed out that the party had the right to still use the property. And that in this case, the town never took possession, never took possession of the property, never interfered with their use of the property until February 2nd, 2017. I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Thank you. So, appellant, you've got 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it.
Thank you. So, counsel said a number of things that I need to clear up before we get bogged down in the weeds or the facts of this case any further. I think the issue in this case is, well, do we have to award interest where there's a date of taking and then allegedly a date of possession that's later? I think that's the issue distilled down. And that is directly resolved by the Bonin case. And I just want to read, these are not my words, these are the Minnesota Supreme Court's words, where it says, quote, the landowner gets interest on the amount of the award from the date of taking, even though the condemner does not actually acquire possession until later.
So was the Bonin case one where it interpreted the same statute that we're all looking at, 117 point, I'm sorry, I'm missing my citation. But
195, but no, I don't believe it was interpreting that statute. But in any event, the legislature could not have passed a statute that would abrogate that holding, because as I've said before, the interest is an element of just compensation. And if they pass such a statute, it would be unconstitutional. But the very issue that we're dealing with has already been resolved by the Minnesota Supreme Court. And counsel inaccurately said that the date of taking and date of possession in Bonin were the same. They were not. The date of taking was in 1962. The state did not acquire possession of the property until 1963. And the Supreme Court said, well, you get interest from the date of taking anyway. And if there's some problem with it, the state can ask for an offset of the rental value for that
position. But in 1962, there was not a statute that was governing this, as in 1988 there was, and now it's version now.
That's true. But again, I think the statute is just a codification of what is common practice. It wasn't an abrogation of the holding that you get interest from the date of taking, irrespective of when the condemner eventually acquires possession. I mean, that is still good law. That Bonin case has never been overruled. And there have been several subsequent cases that still do say that interest runs from the date of taking. So if that's still true, and it is, then this case controls. A few other points.
You don't believe that respondents point on page 11 of its brief that in that manner the condemnees, talking about the Bannon case, continued possession of the property was an offset because the commissioner's award had already been filed. You don't believe that that's a relevant point, that the award had already been filed?
You mean in the Bonin case?
Yes.
No, because when the award was filed, that's when the taking was effectuated. It just so happened that the condemnee stayed in possession there. And then when do they get interest from, since they allegedly had use of their property for a whole another year? Doesn't matter. They still get it from the date of taking. And something to keep in mind here is, regardless of what the town did or didn't do or their motivations for stipulating to a taking, they did. And a taking happened. It extinguished all rights in the property in fee simple, as of October 2nd, 2015.
So you're saying you could not have gone back to ask for a new plat during that time period?
Maybe they could have, but it doesn't matter at this stage.
How could you then continue to market the property for sale?
They did not. That's false. At the time that they received that subsequent offer, they had already sued the town alleging a taking. That offer that's referred to in respondent's brief, that didn't come in until like 6 months after the lawsuit alleging the full deprivation of rights caused by the denial of the prior plat was filed. It just so happened that there was a lot of interest in the property. All the offer shows is that a lot of people wanted to buy that property and for a lot of money. Other than that, it doesn't show anything. It was never executed. They couldn't have executed it. They had an ongoing lawsuit saying that they had no rights in their property. They couldn't convey clear title at that point. They could have been sued by the developer if they hadn't dropped their lawsuit. I want to address the Gannon case really quickly that says that interest on eminent domain awards is controlled by statute. First of all, that's not entirely true, because there's a whole realm of cases that say it's an element of just compensation. If it's an element of just compensation, then it's connected to the Constitution. That means it's not entirely statutory. Second of all, Gannon's was just about how do you get the interest on a condemnation award. Does a jury decide it? No. And so the suggestion here that we should have appealed the commissioner's award to get interest is the exact point that Gannon is supposed to address. You don't do that. It's just automatic. Once you get the award, interest is automatic. See, I'm out of time.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel. The matter is now submitted to this court for a decision. We will issue a decision within the statutory time frame. Thank you.
It's freezing.
It is freezing in here. I guess we didn't pay the utility bill.
Jeez.
You can get interest on that from the date they didn't pay the bill.
We hope so. And the court is ready to go ahead with the third matter on our oral argument calendar.